and then we'll consider those verses together. Or is it not? Okay, it's me reading. That's fine. So from verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy, they are busybodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord be with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. This is God's word for us this evening. Let me just pray once more and ask God for his help. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this is your word that you've given for us to hear this evening. And so, Father, we want to hear you speak. And we pray, please, that you would help us to be those who listen to what your word has to teach us. That we would put into practice what we hear. That we would be obedient to your voice. Please change us. Please teach us and correct us, rebuke us, and train us for righteousness this evening as we consider your word together. And Lord, we pray now for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you'll be pleased to hear that Tuesday morning is still in a very, very exciting time in the Locke household. Tesco deliveries still come Tuesday mornings, which brings with it the potential new cereal for breakfast. And of course, Tuesday morning brings with it the anticipation of Grandad's arrival for childcare, which both me and Rachel are really pleased about, but the kids love too. Now, you'll remember that last time out, I kind of shared two approaches that my son Tobias has in anticipation of Grandad's arrival. If you weren't here, the first goes a little bit like this. There's an announcement that Grandad is coming soon, and so Tobias runs to the window and he starts looking up the road to see the cars coming down. But, you know, if Grandad's not there in a couple of seconds, he gets a little bit bored and he wanders off to the living room and starts playing with toys. He knows Grandad is coming, but it's further off than he would like, and so he distracts himself with something else. So his hands are busy, but not with getting ready or keeping watch, but with play, which inevitably, if you have kids, often also leads to disruption and perhaps annoying of his sister. That's approach number one. The second approach goes like this. There's an announcement that Grandad's coming soon. And with those words in his ears, Tobias runs down the stairs. He grabs his shoes, grabs his coat, starts calling to his sister to get ready, and on occasions runs the door and starts trying to open it. Is Grandad here yet? See, on the second approach, Tobias is busy, but this time he's busy with the right work. In light of Grandad's coming, he's busy with his hands to ensure that he's ready. He's busy trying to make sure his sister is ready for the moment that Grandad walks through the door. They're the two approaches that my son has on a Tuesday morning in anticipation of Granddad's arrival. Now, as we embark on this last portion of 2 Thessalonians this evening, I thought it might help us to start again with that picture because it illustrates the two kind of waiting done by Christians as they await Jesus' return. One approach that we considered last time in verses 1 to 5, which is good and to be followed. It includes standing firm in the gospel truths. It includes prioritizing prayer and gospel progress. It's about persevering in times of trouble and difficulty. It's living a life of obedience to Jesus, doing the good works he's called us to do. But the other kind of waiting is to be avoided. It's what Paul clearly addresses in our passage this evening. It's the danger of idleness, the type of waiting that perhaps loses its gospel urgency, the type of passive waiting that involves a bit of kicking back, perhaps playing with the toys of life and being busy with work that maybe does more harm than good. And so as we tune into this last part of 2 Thessalonians this evening, the challenge that arises for us is this. As you wait for Jesus to return, are you a busy bee or a busy body? Are you a busy bee or a busy body? Are you busy working for Jesus, making his priorities your priorities, doing the work he's called you to do? Or have you taken the foot off the gas a bit? Become a busybody, someone who looks the part, maybe, perhaps even says the right things. As Paul writes this letter with his own hands, you get that in verse 17, he's crystal clear that Jesus is coming back and that while Christians wait for that day that is coming, they are to be actively waiting for Jesus and not idle. They are to be busy bees and not busybodies. Just have a look at verse 11 so you can see this. It's not quite busy bees, but you'll see what I mean. Look at verse 11. This is the issue. Verse 11. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busybodies. See, Paul, when he was with them, even for a short time, he modeled what it was to be a busy bee for Jesus. Day and night, he worked hard. In his first letter, which you can read later if you want, he writes and he says, don't be idle, do the good works you've been called to do. But now again, in his second letter, he says the same thing. It's obviously a big issue. As Christians wait for Jesus to return, there is work to do, and yet some among the believers in Thessalonica are labeled idle and disruptive, busybodies. Now, when you hear the word idle, you may be thinking of just laziness, and that's often how we use the word, isn't it? Or perhaps you might think of, Microsoft computers quite a while ago now. These have, when the screen went idle after 5-10 minutes, you'd have that thing that just kind of, the icon just kind of bopping one way to the other. That might be starting to show my age. I shouldn't have said that. But you just see this kind of symbol bouncing across the screen. It's killing time. And there's truth in that idea of idleness. That's certainly included in the word here. And I guess all of us have struggled in that capacity to some extent in the pandemic, where we've been forced in many ways to be idle more than usual. But it is much more than that in this passage. It's not just being lazy. It includes that, but it's not all of it. You see, if I'm not busy doing the work Jesus has given me to do, then I'm likely to be busy doing something else. We're all busy, but are you a busy bee or a busy body? So it's not just laziness. It also includes being occupied with the wrong things. So you might have heard of that proverb. I don't exactly know where it comes from. I don't think anyone does. But there's a proverb that says, the devil makes work for idle hands to do. And that's certainly true, isn't it? Some theologians and writers in the past have taken that idea and expressed it in different ways. So the 4th century theologian Jerome expressed the idea in a letter. He said, do something so that the devil may always find you busy. Or even Chaucer, in 1405 wrote this: do some good deeds so that the devil, which is our enemy, won't find you unoccupied. See, what are they warning about? Why are they warning? Well, it's because they understand that if someone's not doing good works with their hands, it wouldn't be long before they were doing wrong things with their hands. And Paul expresses the same thing. If we're not being busy bees for Jesus, we're in danger of becoming busy bodies. That's why idleness is such a danger. And it's a danger that lingered in the church in Thessalonica. And it's a danger that we all need to be aware of today. As you wait for Jesus to return, are you a busy bee or a busy body? Now, it might help at this point just to think a little bit more about what it means to be a busybody. And so if you come back with me, just look at verse 6. We get more kind of explained as Paul writes. So look at verse 6. Listen into this. He says, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you received from us. Busybodies are those who are idle and disruptive. That's a word that means disorderly. It's the same word used in verse 11 we read earlier. But also told in verse 6 that they are those who do not live, they do not walk, they do not live according to the teaching received from Paul. Their lives aren't all matched up with gospel. Now the heartbeat of this letter is that command in chapter 2, verse 15. It says, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word or mouth or by letter. That's why we've called this series in 2 Thessalonians, Stand Firm. But there are some here within the church who have heard the word and aren't living it all out. They might profess it, they might believe it, but they're not submitting themselves to all of it. Now, the particular teaching and example the busybodies in Thessalonica are not following was Paul's attitude and his command to work. So have a look from verse 7. He says, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we did not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. See, when Paul was with them, he had every right to ask them for support, help, for food, for accommodation, whatever it was, because he worked tirelessly to preach to them the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, to teach them about his cross, to see them come to faith in Jesus. And yet, knowing that idleness was a problem for them already, that it was a danger, he deliberately chose to kind of do away with that help. He deliberately, when he sorted himself out in order to set them a pattern to follow. That's why he also gives them a command in verse 10. The one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. It's clear. Now, it's worth highlighting that command there, the emphasis is on the heart issue of work. See, of course, the church then and now are called to support those who really need it. It's not a rebuke for those who are unemployed, who would love to work, but they can't get work at the moment. No, the emphasis is on the willingness. It's the heart issue. See, his command is, don't feed the one who is unwilling to work. It's a matter of willingness. Why was this an issue in the church then? Well, as we've already seen in the letter, chapter 2, perhaps for some, they listen to this false teaching. Jesus has come back or his return so imminent. Well, we can just sit back. We could just perhaps sponge off others because we don't need to work. Jesus is coming back he's coming back. But Paul addresses this by stating, well, that wasn't the example we gave you. We worked tirelessly when we were among you. But he also addresses them, if you look at verse 12, he also addresses them head on. So verse 12, such people we command and urging the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. In other words, Paul addresses busybodies and he says, look, you need to become busy bees. He'd given them an example to follow. He'd given them a command to keep. And now he plays his trump card and says, in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord, in the name of Jesus who's coming back, in his name we urge you to be a busy bee, to do the work he's called you to do. To busybodies, Paul says, be a busy bee. Stop sponging off others and get to work. Now you might think, well, this doesn't really apply to us, does it? I mean, after 2,000 years, we're perhaps less expectant of an imminent return of Jesus. And so in the most part, we're less likely to use this as an excuse, perhaps, to kind of kick back and become idle in the sense, at least, of being unwilling to work. But idleness is still a danger for us and can express itself in other ways. So again, in verse 6, we see that the root of the issue stems from the fact that some believers are not living according to certain teachings or commands or patterns. So although the worked example Paul gives is all about work ethic, idleness can be seen also in commands of Scripture that we dismiss or we avoid. And this is important since we often think sin is just in the wrong things we do, which is true. It includes that certainly. But it is more than that. Sin is also idleness, ignoring commands that we've been given and choosing not to do them or avoiding them. So perhaps, like some of the Thessalonians, you are someone who does have a poor attitude to work, who could work more but has chosen not to because it's more comfortable not to, or because perhaps other people just supply everything you need. Now again, this isn't addressing those who would love to work but can't find it, or perhaps in this pandemic year who have been made redundant, or even those whose work is not for money but includes childcare and looking after elderly parents, that kind of thing. But it is clear, if you are someone who is sponging off others, or even just being an unnecessary burden to others, then you do need to hear this. Paul would say, don't be a busybody, be a busy bee. Think about evangelism. Jesus calls all followers to be on mission and to go and make disciples. In chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, which we considered a few weeks ago, we saw how our work should include a prayerful priority to see the gospel advance. And we can all feel the pinch of such commands. We don't perhaps feel skilled at that. There's other people who are better at that. So maybe we don't need to do it. The base is covered. But that's not right. Let me ask you, would it be more natural for you to gossip with a mate or to tell them what you learned at church on Sunday or something that Jesus challenged you through his word in the mornings? Are you a busy bee or a busy body? See, we can read a chapter like this, I think, and think that we don't need to hear it. It's not really addressing us. But at its heart, I think it does expose that there are lots of ways we are in danger, or perhaps are at the moment, being idle. And we need to hear and the rebuke of the Scriptures. Even as I came back to preach, prepared to preach this week, I looked back at what we'd done last time, and I thought, in one sense to my shame, you know, what difference did the last sermon make? Have I really made it my priority to pray for gospel progress, to pray for protection for others, to pray for perseverance for others in the faith? Have you? Has that shaped your waiting in these last few weeks? It's challenging, isn't it? As you wait for Jesus to return, are you a busy bee or are you a busy body? To busybodies, Paul says, be a busy bee. Now, there is a danger as we kind of chew on that and consider this truth, that it can just sound like this is just a whole bunch of works that we've got to do in order to be saved. But the reason we've been given good works to do by Jesus is because Jesus himself is one who was not idle. Jesus was willing to leave the glory and the comfort of heaven to do the work his Father had called him to do, to go to the cross, to win us salvation, to pay for our sin, in order that we could be saved and then live a life of good works for his glory. That's what led Jesus to the cross, for you and for me. That's our hope. It's in a Savior who was not idle. If Jesus was idle, we'd have no hope. As you wait for Jesus to return, are you a busy bee or a busybody? To busy bodies, Paul says, be a busy bee. I hope you're following that so far. It's quite hard to actually say that. It's like a tongue twister. You can practice later. Now, this point is certainly a key point in this chapter. And I wanted it to be clear that he's addressing busybodies here. Because, and just to think a little bit about what it means to be a busybody, because until we do, actually you won't really get a lot of the other commands, I think, in this chapter. But it's worth noting, so in this section, kind of from verse 6 to the end, there's five commands, and one is actually addressed to busybodies, but actually all the others are addressed to busy bees, which suggests, and as Paul himself says, that actually, although idleness is a danger for all of us, actually within the church, actually, there are more busy bees than busy bodies here. There are more of those who are actively waiting for Jesus to return. And so just for the last part of our time, I want us to consider what exactly Paul says to busy bees. He says two things. The first is this. To busy bees, he says, keep away from busy bodies. And by the end, it really is a tongue twister. But busy bees, keep away from busy bodies. Just look again at verse 6. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teachings you received from us. Have a look at verse 14 as well. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. See, at the start and near the end of this passage, Paul says to busy bees, keep away from busy bodies. Keep away from those who are idle. Now, I guess in this past year, we've all had lots of practice at keeping away from others, haven't we? You know, if this pandemic has taught us anything, it's how to keep our distance from others. So you've all had good practice at this. It's actually been really sad, hasn't it? I don't know if you feel this, but you walk down the road. I feel it most when I'm with the kids. You walk down the road and you see people coming and then you have to cross the road, which is the right thing to do because you want to keep them safe. You don't want them to feel uncomfortable. But it just feels like a rubbish lesson to teach the kids, isn't it? Oh, keep away from people when everything in you wants to, you know, at least smile at a person walking up the road. But we've had practice at this. And why have we been told to keep our distance from others? Well, we've been told again and again, hands, face, space. Keeping our distance helps us to keep us and others safe from the virus. And just like that, Paul says, if you encounter idleness, if you see others being busybodies, things that aren't appropriate for believers in the Lord Jesus to do, then keep your distance. Keep away. Why? Well, I think it's to keep them safe. Idleness breeds idleness. But it's also a loving warning. So look at verse 15. It says, yet do not regard them, busybodies, do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. I remember when I was in the equivalent of what we have here, Rooted, like the teenage work, there's a few of us, we'd kind of been silly, and we were making a joke about someone else within the teenage group. It wasn't anything kind of really malicious, but one of our friends, as we were kind of having a joke, just, he said, hey, you know, I don't feel really comfortable with this. And he just walked off. And we were all like, oh. And in that moment, we felt ashamed. It felt like such a little thing to do, just maybe bad-mouthing, having a joke at someone else's expense. But my friend just walking off really highlighted that to us. Oh. And we could have mocked him a little bit. Oh, he's just being a bit super spiritual. We're just having a bit of fun here. But he was right to walk off. And we were wrong. And that, I remember that being a really strong lesson to me. And it's that attitude here, walking away in that situation, highlighted the issue, and it caused us to stop gossiping. I mean, are there moments like that that you can remember in your own life where perhaps someone just walked off? Are there situations you keep finding yourself that you perhaps recognize are even unhealthy or unhelpful, where you could walk off? Moments that where rather than being a busy bee for Jesus, you're tempted to be a busybody. Is there even another Christian that sometimes brings that out in you, which isn't helpful? Paul says in such moments, keep away. So the first thing he says to busy bees is keep away from busybodies so that you may serve them, as a loving warning to them. But also he urges busy bees to not tire of working for Jesus. That's the second thing we see. See, as the announcement of Grandad's arrival in our house is heard, it's hard for Tobias to run down the stairs and get ready when he sees his sister playing with all the toys and not listening and not following that command. If he sees her not responding in the right way, well, he's more tempted to not be busy doing the things he should do and more busy, perhaps, or more tempted to go and play with her. And so after Paul addresses the idol in the church in verse 12 and urges them to get back to work, it's no surprise, I think, that in verse 13, he then encourages the brothers and sisters to not tire of doing what is good. So look at verse 13. As for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. See, it's hard, isn't it, to do the right thing when others don't care or they don't know or they're not doing it. How many times in this past year, maybe it's just me, but how many times this past year have you maybe seen other people breaking COVID rules and you think, That's rubbish. But then that almost fuels and you think, well, other people are doing that. They're having loads of people around their house. Well, why can't I just, you know, do this small thing of not wearing my mask when I go into the shop? Or you know, it's tempting, isn't it? And the more we see it in others, the more we want to kind of justify ourselves by doing it. I think for Christians, we find this hard a lot of the time. If a non-Christian starts gossiping to us, we can kind of understand it. But when a Christian does it, it can feel a bit more awkward to say something. Maybe it feels more justified for them to do it. Or maybe we agree with what they're saying and we kind of feel trapped. But the scriptures remind us that as we wait for Jesus, we are to be busy bees for him, doing his work, doing good, not filling our time or our conversations with things that are unhelpful. As you wait for Jesus to return, are you a busy bee or a busy body? If I can try and say all of that in one go without it being too bzzz, at least it reminds you because it sounds like a bee. But as you wait for Jesus' turn, are you a busy bee or are you a busy body? Busy bodies are called to be busy bees. Busy bees are urged to keep away from busy bodies and to do the work that Jesus has called them to do. As you wait for Jesus to return, are you a busy bee or a busy body? Now, if tonight you're not yet a Christian, then at this point, just acknowledge that at the moment you're not ready, or perhaps even you're not waiting for Jesus to return. And that is dangerous territory, because he is king and he is coming back. And today, the scriptures compel us to come to Jesus, to ask him for forgiveness, ask for the salvation that he alone can give. And that command is for today. It's not tomorrow, it's not some day in the future, but from now on. See, I've known many people who have kind of used the excuse, they know the story of Jesus at the cross, and they know of the thief that turns to Jesus in his last moments and says, Jesus, remember me when you come into glory. Remember me in paradise. And some people treat that as a kind of a license to, well, I can live life how I want, but then on that last moment, I'm going to call out to Jesus and ask for salvation. You see, that, Jesus is gracious and generous. But sometimes we can use that as an excuse to be idle, even when it comes to our salvation. To live life now and then come to Jesus at some point later. But that misses the point. becoming a Christian is not only asking Jesus to save you, it is asking Jesus to change you. Only Jesus saves, and only Jesus gives true and ultimate purpose to life. All other work in life will come to nothing, whatever we achieve in it. But life in Jesus, being busy working for Jesus, is completely fulfilling because it's the work we're called to do. It's what makes us, I guess, fully human. It's the work that will last into all eternity. So if you're not yet trusting, come to him today. Let him make you a busy bee. Let him save you and shape you. As you wait for Jesus to return, are you a busy bee or a busybody? Let me pray, and then we'll respond by singing. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your living word, the word we've heard this evening. And Father, we firstly want to say sorry for the times where we haven't been busy doing the good work you've called us to do, but have been busy bodies. And Lord, we seek your forgiveness for that. And Lord, we praise you so much and thank you for our Lord Jesus, who is not idle, who is not a busybody, but was willing to do the work of going to the cross, the work needed for our salvation, so he could restore us, so that he could give us work that isn't temporary but lasts for all eternity. What a privilege. Lord, help us to be busy bees for Jesus this week. Please show us the work you've called us to do. Please equip us for the work you've called us to do. Please give us courage to keep away from busybodies, to encourage one another and urge one another to be more and more busy bees, doing the work Jesus has called us to do. Lord, we need your help in these things. So we plead and ask for that help and for your Spirit to equip us. Please help us, Lord. And we pray, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.